The songs that we sang tonight were very appropriate to the lesson that I would like to share with you this evening. God has infinite power and infinite wisdom. That's why we have perfect peace. We know that even if we foul everything up, God has the power to put it back together again and we can still enter into heaven. We have perfect peace. Not that we want to do that, but we understand that God's love and mercy and grace can protect us even from ourselves, as he did with David and as he has done with so many in the past. God's infinite wisdom, as we sang in another song, he controls the future as he controls the past. Can you imagine how God is interfacing all the things that are going on in the world, the free will of all of the people who are undermining and destroying our culture, the entire culture of Western civilization, and also the free will that has created so many enemies, and yet God has the power, the wisdom, the understanding to work through all this and to get us safely through so that in the end we will all be safe with him in heaven. And so the glory and the majesty of God are infinite. And I've always appreciated Paul's words in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Depth and riches. It's hard to even grasp it. It's so amazing. How unsearchable are his judgments? You know, we learn from Job that sometimes it's not wise to pass judgment on God's judgment. Maybe I should rephrase that. We learn from Job it is never wise to judge his judgments. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Who is first given to him? And it shall be repaid to him. Now, we have a lot of people in the world today trying to do this. They would love to counsel God. They would love to tell God how he shouldn't have put baptism into the scriptures, how he should have left instrumental music in there, how he should have modified the church to accomplish all the things they wanted to do. But no one can do that. Who has first given to him? And it shall be repaid to him. For of him, he is the source. Through him, he is the agency. And to him, he is the purpose for all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we can read these words, but we need something tangible to illustrate them or to base it on. So, what great thing has God done that we could use to illustrate, at least to our own mind, or maybe to those who are asking us, the reason that is hope, for the hope that is within us, something that brings out the emotions, the glory, the awe, the reverence, the respect, because of something not intangible like these things? His wisdom are riches and deep. His knowledge is. His judgments are unsearchable. But there's something there that we'd like to grasp and hang on to. So, God's creative genius. What comes to mind? Would you pick a day of creation? I am so amazed that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Or I'm so amazed that on the first day, he, after making light, made the dry land with all of the formations and all of the beauty, the amazing nature of the valleys, the mountains, the trees, and then we go on to day after day after day. What would you pick? An aquarium, a zoo, insects, birds, anatomy, how the elements all work together, the symmetry of chemistry, physics, and life. If you've ever studied that, you realize how amazing life is, that it could even exist. The collective whole, so vast, can't even be grasped or understood. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. That's my point. What works? What works would we use? When we taught our children about the amazing nature of God, when we talked to our friends and neighbors, what works? I will praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Well, that's a little easier. We can look at the 10 plagues. We can look at the flood. We can look at Sodom and Gomorrah. We can look at Joshua asking the sun to stand still and God stopping it in its tracks. The virgin birth, the resurrection. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Again, brethren, we have to have something. You can't just say, oh, I'm meditating on the glorious splendor of his majesty. Well, what? What is it that men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts? I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. That's a beautiful psalm, and it captures so many facets of God's character, his wisdom, his power, his majesty, his glory. But like I said, we need something that we can make tangible. I think God is great because there's something amazing in the largest that you can see in a telescope or the tiniest that you can see in a microscope. There's just amazing things from the atom, or as Hebrew writer puts it, the things that are made out of things which do not appear. We may have it right or we may have it completely skewed. We really don't know how the universe functions, in spite of the fact that people think they do. But the heavens declare the glory of God. So, an important consideration, again, is we have to have something. If you don't have something when you're praying, it's hard to generate the emotions because they're just not there. God is great. God is majestic. How many times can we say that? Your power is infinite. Your glory is magnificent. Well, what? What exactly are we talking about? Now, since the beginning, the material creation is a great place to start. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So I think we're on the right track when we want to glorify and praise and adore and give him the glory for his majesty. We need to look at the things that are made. The beautiful rose, the birth of a child, a glorious sunset, or in a majestic scene of mountains covered in snow, or the ocean crashing and showing magnificent colors, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, and Godhead, or his divine nature, so that they are without excuse. You see, this is the problem. If we never think about these things, we can get where they are. We can get to where, how does the next verse go? They didn't glorify him as God. They didn't give him thanks, and their senseless heart was darkened. Now, we are very near that danger. We've watched as the schools have collapsed. We've watched as the denominations have collapsed. We've watched as the nation has collapsed. Faith in God, understanding of God's glory and majesty and true praise are narrowing. And brethren, when we're standing alone, we could be the last to fall. And so we need to be careful. We need to understand these things. Because this is what we use. But you know something? Those living in eternity with God, they don't look at the material creation. They look at something else. And this evening, if you haven't heard this lesson before, I've preached it a couple times here, but if you haven't heard it before, then you're going to be amazed at the one thing the angels and the angelic hosts in heaven are looking at right now that reveals God's wisdom in a way that nothing else can do. So they see things we can't see. So again, it'd be something we might overlook. So let's read the verse. To make all see. This was Paul's job. This was the job of the apostles and prophets, was to make all see What is the fellowship of the mystery? Fellowship meaning our part and God's part. Our part and God sending Christ. The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. There wasn't any fellowship until Jesus came, because God didn't need us for anything. He'd already made his plans. Then when Jesus came, he picked the apostles, he picked the prophets, he started the plans, he built his church. The fellowship of the mystery, which beginning from the beginning of the ages, Genesis chapter 1, and maybe beyond that, because we don't understand what ages are, from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent, or for this purpose. This is the reason why God did all this. This is the reason why the plan of salvation kicked in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God said, I've got it covered, Adam and Eve, I've got it covered. One of your children will come and crush the head of the person who did this to you, and you will get an opportunity to be restored and resolved. The manifold to the intent that now, this is the purpose. The manifold wisdom of God. Now that's what we've been talking about, the manifold wisdom of God. How do we see it? Well, how do they see it? Might be made known by the church. Did that even enter your mind? The church is God's greatest masterpiece. The church is God's most amazing creation. Far superior. If you read the context of Ephesians chapter 1, he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That alone tells us that this church, of which Christ is the head over, is the fullness of him who fills all things in all ways. But then he starts in and he says, you know something? You were dead in your trespasses. You were children of wrath, even as the rest. But we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. So here are the angels looking at all of these dead, withered, destroyed, doomed to hell souls, and watching God, because prior to that, remember we read in Jude and in Peter that angels that sinned were immediately cast down to chains of darkness to await the great judgment. But not Adam and Eve. And when they saw that, now again, this had been kept hidden in God, so we don't know how much he revealed to the angels. Peter says that angels desire, which means to lust, to long, to be just going back and forth, they long to understand these things. Well, they understand them now. The manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, hold on to that, because you might read that and say, what's that got to do with angels? Well, I'll show you in a minute. It has everything to do with angels. And not just angels, but also Satan and his angels. The church makes known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The first time I really understood this, it dawned on me that the church has a dual purpose. Not only does it have a purpose of saving our souls, it has a purpose of showing the angelic beings in heaven just how wise God is. Now that's sublime. That's beyond our comprehension. There's more going on in the church than in the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's more going on in the church than the things that are made can reveal. As a matter of fact, the angels don't look at the things that are made to see his everlasting power and divinity. They look at the church. So when we think about the church on earth, which is a tiny segment of the church, because the church goes all the way back. Abraham's in it. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, or chapters 9 through 10, it talks about the spirits of just men made perfect being brought into the church, brought into the kingdom. Everyone is in that church now. Every saved person has been called out to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now look at verse 11, because that's even more fascinating. According to the eternal purpose. This was God's eternal plan. There's probably 10 verses in the New Testament that discuss the fact that the plan of Christ coming, in 1 Peter 1 it says he was crucified from the foundation of the world. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And then he talks about times eternal and how God's hidden plans go all the way back. You know, we talk about people who find things that are old, antiquities, and we're so amazed to go to Egypt and look at these amazing things that man did 5,000 years ago. You know, when you're reading the Bible, you're reading about things that God did in eternal ages. It's incredible how complex this is. And sadly, most men, all they can do is look at how God put it into a package. He said, I chose foolish things and base things because if you don't have faith in me, you will never see how glorious my church is until it is revealed on the last day. Verse 11, this is according to the eternal purpose, which he accomplished. He planned it. He accomplished it in Christ Jesus. There is a lot of information here. So let's break it down just one more time because I want you to look at these 9 points. He wants everyone to see this. Now sadly, as we go into all the world and preach the gospel, we try to help men see it. But most people in the denominations, they'll never see this. They will never see that the church of Christ, you read about in the scriptures, reveals God's manifold wisdom, and any time they touch it, they damage it, they ruin it. The angels are just looking at them, shaking their heads, thinking, what in the world? This is God's greatest masterpiece, and you think you can change the worship, you can change the organization, you can change the terms of membership, you can come in and fiddle and change, and, you know, we wouldn't do that with a cell phone, we wouldn't do that with a computer, but these people have no problem with something that the angels see. So from the fellowship of the mystery means God brought us into this. We are part of the church, and every generation has an opportunity to show the angels. And that's what the Church of Christ here at Holly Street, that's our goal. To show the angels how the manifold wisdom of God can work in a church in the 21st century when people who love the Lord and trust the Lord keep doing what the scriptures say. There are going to be a lot of people on the judgment day are going to come before God and say, Lord, there was no way for us to do what you said to do. And God's going to be able to point to the church at Holly Street. At least that's our goal. So that you can say, yeah, you could have done it. Look what those people did. They stayed within the lines. They stayed within the scriptures. They reflected the manifold wisdom of God. You see, the church was established by Jesus just before Acts chapter 2. Remember he said in Matthew 16, I will build it. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, he's at the right hand of God, exalted, and it's built. And all you need to do is repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will be added to the church, to the kingdom, to God's plan. And now we'll all be in fellowship. We'll be in fellowship with God. We're still in fellowship with God. But this started at the beginning of the ages. We are involved with something that is so old and so complex and so magnificent that we shouldn't dare want to touch anything. We should be very content to leave it alone. It works perfectly from the hands of God. And when we try to tinker with it, we're just going to ruin it. Because there's people out there who think, oh, I can get in. It says no user serviceable parts. But I'm going to get in there and service it. Well, if you try, you're going to ruin it. Because unless you are extremely educated and wise, you can't fix things like that. They're just too complex. The purpose, verse number 4. The purpose, God had a plan. He had a purpose. That the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church. Now that's sublime. He created everything in the material creation, and I'm sure when the angelic beings saw these things, they were in awe of God's majestic power. But when they understood the church, they saw something they'd never seen before. And so do we, by faith. So by the church, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, and again, keep that, we're going to talk about that in our next slide. And this is all according to the eternal purpose. In other words, this was God's plan back in eternity. We are going to create the heavens and the earth. And we are going to redeem those people who destroy themselves through sin. And the Word, who was with God and was God, who was in the beginning with God and created all things, is going to come as a man and die on a cross to make this happen. And the principalities and powers in heavenly places are watching the Word, who's with God, equal to God, emptying himself, becoming a human being, and allowing Satan to sift him and to work over him and to try to destroy him. And they are in awe because the cost of the church is higher than the entire material creation. The cost of creating the church, the blood that Jesus had to shed, cost him. The Creator came down, the one who made the sun, the moon, and the stars, the one who made everything that exists today, emptied himself, took the form of a human body, and let sinful man spit on him, beat him, and scourge him, and nail him to a cross, and laugh at him, and scoff at him, and he let them do that. Can you imagine how much he paid for this church? You know, it's interesting, when you buy something, that's what people want to know. How much did you pay for it? Well, why do you want to know how much I paid for it? Because by knowing how much you paid for it, you know its value. So you see my car and you say, how much did you pay for that car? Oh, I paid $2 million for that car. Now you're going to look at me and shake your head and say, that car's not worth $2 million. But if I did pay that much for it, you'd say there must be something pretty special about it, but we don't see it. Well, the angels can see it with the church. The principalities and the powers in heavenly places. And this was all part of God's eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord and their Lord. The angelic hosts submit to Jesus just like they do to God. Now, who are these people? Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Clearly, these angels and principalities and powers have some kind of a tie. Now, how far can we take this? Well, I don't know. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, about the time you want to say, well, this is just talking about the physical rulers like Putin and the man in China, and all, that's the kind of... No, that won't work, because these principalities and powers see the wisdom of God in the church. So whatever these principalities and powers are, got nothing to do with people on earth, because no one on earth sees the manifold wisdom of God in the church. But these angelic beings, and again, look at verse 16, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Where do we put the wicked one? We put him in the principalities and powers and the spiritual hosts of wickedness. Revelation 12 gives us about as clear a picture as we can get. The devil and his angels went to war against Michael and his angels, and the devil was defeated and he was cast out of heaven. Now you say, how much of that's symbolic? I don't know. But I know that God wants me to visualize this battle and the principalities and powers, how does he put it? The spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places was cast down. So I'm confident that the principalities and powers are not of this creation, because only things not of this creation could see the church and say, wow, I can't believe how wise God is. Nobody on this earth sees that. So, as Paul said, I am persuaded that angels can't separate us from the love of God, nor can principalities and powers. Now, is there a distinction between them? Are they part of the angels? Certainly Gabriel and Michael are principalities and powers over the angelic hosts. Certainly Satan is a principality and power over the spiritual hosts of wickedness. What's in between? We don't know. But that word, the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places and the principalities and powers. So let's go back and look at that verse one more time. Let me pull this back here. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. I do not believe that can be anything on this earth, because no one but the angels. This is God's eternal purpose that we're talking about here. In God's eternal purpose, the church has been placed in such a way so that the principalities and powers can see His manifold wisdom. Now, who are these principalities and powers? Well, they're not of this creation, clearly, because only those not of this creation could understand how the church could take broken, sinful, dead men, eternally dead, and change them into a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. What the blood of Christ can do for a human being is beyond anything we can comprehend, but nobody in this world can see that, and certainly no one in the political realm can see that. So who are these principalities and powers? I don't think they're of this creation. Because only things that can see both sides of the creation, only those who can see the terrible damage of sin can understand when Jesus went back to heaven and built His church. What an amazing thing He did. So I think that we can, with great confidence, make that statement. So, looking at the word manifold, which is an interesting term, it means something that is so complex that you have to break it down into constituent parts in order to see it. Now, the human body is like that. The human body has a circulatory system, a respiratory system, and we could just go on and on, a cardiovascular system, and a neurological system, and a brain, and every part of the body. The human body is fearfully and marvelously made because it's a manifoldly complex organism that can do amazing things. You can see, hear, taste. It can remember, it can think, it can plan. And it holds an eternal soul. The manifold wisdom of God in the human body is incredible. But the manifold wisdom of God in the church is far more incredible. So if you take light, light looks clear, or light looks white. We talk about white light, or we talk about clear light. Light is actually manifold. Every color is in light. The rainbow reveals the manifold colors of light, and the church reveals the multicolored wisdom of God. So when I pray and I want to think about something that is infinitely complex and amazing, I can thank God for the church. And I think it's important that we do that, because you know something, brethren, in this world, the church of Christ is part of, like what Paul said about the apostles, we are seen as the offscouring of all things, refuse, even up to this present time. We are beaten, we are scourged, we are laughed at, we are mocked. And the church, they helped in fellowship with God bring to earth, is seen the same way. But the Holy Spirit revealed it to us in Scripture. But the angels, the principalities and powers in heaven see it. God planned it in eternity. It is the centerpiece of His eternal purpose. And it was purposed to show the principalities and powers in the heavenly places His manifold wisdom. Now again, try to figure out, well, who exactly is that? Well, again, I think it's people who are not of this creation, because they're the only ones that can see it. They see the church in the fullest sense. They see the church, or in the church, things far more complex and amazing than the sun, the moon, the human body, technology, elements, energy, interfacing, chemicals, elements, everything functioning, God seeing the future, God seeing the past, God having control, and here in the middle of it all is this church. And the angels say, wow, the church shows the manifold wisdom of God. And I think that's so incredible because what it does for me is it helps me see how important it is that we don't touch this. And why our plea, don't go beyond the scriptures. Because if you do, you will negatively impact God's manifold wisdom. You ruin it. That's why John says, whoever goes onward and doesn't abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. You're insulting God. And the angels are putting their hand up. What is that person doing? How many preachers who were reflecting the manifold wisdom of God fell through their pride and arrogance? And we don't want to follow that. So God gave Jesus the plans. And Jesus came to build it. But he didn't just build it, he bought it with his blood. The Word, who was with God, who was equal with God, whom God said, you, Lord, lay the foundation, they will perish, but you will continue. All the things God said about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, all the things that are said about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not count his equality with God something to cling to, but he emptied himself so that he could purchase the church with his own blood. Like I said earlier, how much did it cost? There's nothing in this creation that the Creator came down, took on a human body, and suffered and died to bring into being except the church. It has inestimable value. It manifests the reflection, it reflects the manifold wisdom of God in every possible way. And so he chose and prepared the apostles and prepared them for 3 years. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to guide them. And then he suffered and died to purchase the church. It is flawless in its purchase price, in its head, in its organization. You say church autonomy doesn't look very wise to me. Yeah, but who's the one running the show up in heaven who knows the future and the past and can control? He said, I rule the nations with a rod of iron. I can break them. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's the head over all things of the church. Who cares how the church is organized on earth? We just want to be a part of it. We just want the Church of Christ here in Denver to be seen by the angels as another example of the manifold wisdom of God. The church exists in heaven. We just have to tie into it by our own submission. So the Holy Spirit revealed the plans and the blueprints. When we take those plans and blueprints and carefully pattern our lives, you remember what God said to Moses about the tabernacle? Be sure you follow the pattern that was shown on the mount. Because we find out in Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 that tabernacle that they built on earth perfectly reflects the reality in heaven, which ultimately now is the church, because he says it is not of this creation. But we take those plans. It's already in existence. Jesus built it. All we have to do is restore it. All we have to do is allow it to come into being like Paul did. He went to Thessalonica, he went to Corinth, he went to Berea, he went to Ephesus, he went. And then he said to the Romans, all the churches of Christ salute you. We take those plans. We carefully follow, as Paul said, you carefully followed my manner of life. You followed my teaching. The God of peace will be with you. Carefully patterned. So, God's creative Jesus, this is why whoever goes onward and does not abide in the teachings of Christ. Can you see why it's an abomination to God that we would fiddle? That we would say to God, you know, Lord, you didn't get it right on marriage, divorce, remarriage. I don't even know why you said that. Matter of fact, I'm going to ignore the fact that you said that. I'm shaking my head thinking to myself, how in the world? What are you thinking? Whoever goes onward and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Well, yeah, but they got men in control, and now we know women are equal to men, and therefore we have to modify the church because, matter of fact, we need to get rid of God. He's not a father. He's not a he. And you're looking at this and you're thinking, what are the angels thinking right now? And what is God thinking right now? God revealed these things to us, and now we've got men running around and women running around saying, you know, we gotta pull this out. We've got to modify this. We've got to make the church modern. But it's ancient. It goes back into eternity. It reflects the manifold wisdom of God to the angelic host, and you're telling us we need to make it modern? Wake up. If we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel or doctrine, let him be accursed. I'm not mad, I'm just passionate. The church reveals manifold wisdom of God. Only when the members of that church are doing exactly as God has revealed. Otherwise, what's it reflecting? It's reflecting our wisdom, not God's wisdom. If we change something in the scriptures, now it's my church. And they're right. When it's called the Lutheran church, he's right. It's Luther's church. It's not Christ's church. The Catholic church, that's the Pope's church. It's not Christ's church. It doesn't reflect the manifold wisdom of God. It reflects the human wisdom that have come down through the ages. Same thing with the Episcopalian church, or the Presbyterian church, and the Mormon church. And we could just go on and on and on. They're all doing the same thing. They found something in the scriptures they don't like, so they've made a change. And now it's their church. But when we do everything exactly as God has revealed, it'll reflect his wisdom. When we say to ourselves, I don't agree with the wisdom of God, I'm going to change it. Angels are saying, who do you think you are? And what do you think you're doing? You're touching something that goes all the way back into eternity, something that Jesus came to this earth to die for and built, and now you think you can make a modification to it? So the church takes God's wisdom and breaks it out so the angels can see. When they see the organization of the church, they see the membership of the church, they see what the church can do and what baptism does, and they put their hand over their mouth. Wow. God is so infinitely wise. I can't even believe it. The more I look at the church, the more wisdom I see. The more colors I see, the more variations. You know something? We're stewards of that wisdom. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can't we see in this verse that we cannot touch anything? We have to speak as the oracles of God. We have to minister with the strength which God supplies. Because in that way, God will be glorified in everything through Jesus Christ. Now, if the Pope turns out to be right, who's going to get the glory? Oh, the Pope was right. We needed to make all these changes. You know, some angels are up there saying, I can't believe God made so many mistakes. The Pope has said it all right. You think that's what's going to happen? Or these people today who are running around telling us that Paul was a chauvinist. Paul was a homophobe. I just get sick listening to it. Because what they don't understand is Paul didn't write any of this. The Holy Spirit did. He didn't do anything. When you say the Holy Spirit was a homophobe, that's getting it right. You think the Holy Spirit has prejudices against women? Do you think the Holy Spirit doesn't like homosexuals? They're just the same as everybody else. He just doesn't like them. That's not the truth. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because he wanted us to understand how disgusting it is to him when people are doing what they're doing today. And for people to come along, you know, I drive down the road and here's this sign, church, and it's got this beautiful rainbow, and we all know what that means. Everybody's welcome here. Even the ones God said are sinners. So, God's creative genius. You probably know by now, this is one of my favorite passages because it puts things in perspective. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. They're all the denominations, brethren. They're not here. They don't want to be here. They don't like what God put in the scriptures. But they don't understand, verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Everything in the scriptures reflects the manifold wisdom of God. And if human wisdom doesn't like it, God just says, you know something? I put that in there. Just like Pharaoh. For this very reason I raised you up, that in you I might show all my power. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And members of the Church of Christ all over the world can't get away from it fast enough right now. They're going to pull out baptism. They're going to get rid of the name. They're going to change the organization. They're going to change the worship. They're going to make the church what? They're going to take all the foolish things out of the scriptures. They're going to take all the weak things out of the scriptures. They're going to take all the base things and the things that are despised. We don't want them in the scriptures. Because, man, they'll persecute us. They'll laugh at us. We're tired of being laughed at. We want to be with them. But God chose the foolish things of the world. They didn't talk Jeremiah up. Boy, Jeremiah, he's such a fine preacher. No, they didn't, because he preached the things they didn't want to hear, just like we have to do. Just like so many members of the church are running away from right now. Because they don't want the persecution. They don't want the shame. Jesus suffered shame. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And they will be ashamed on the judgment day, even though right now they really think they're something. And he chose the weak things. So, and God did that so that no one could come before him on the judgment day and say, look at me, God, I did it better than you. Never going to happen. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I want a glory that we're doing everything as God said for it to be done, that we are following his commands, that we are condemning the things he condemns, that we are uplifting the things that he uplifts, because we want the angels to see that in all this wicked world, there are still some who believe that the pristine church you read about in the Bible reflects the manifold wisdom of God, and we are going to do it, and we're going to pay the price, whatever that price ends up being. And so, brethren, if you want to know what the greatest creation of God is, the church. And the more we understand that, the more glory we're going to give to God, and the more we're going to realize how important it is that we don't change, that we don't modify, that we hold fast to these things. We're not wrong. We may be the minority, like Jesus was. Was Jesus wrong when they crucified him? Were the apostles wrong when they were beaten and mistreated? They weren't wrong. We're not wrong. Because we're standing on the scriptures. And so, I hope that this lesson is so important to me. I think it's such a critical thing we need to be thinking about. Because if we're not, the whole world is against what we're standing for right now. And unless we understand, we're in fellowship with the mystery that was kept hidden through times eternal, but has now been revealed. And when the angels see it, wow, God is so wise. The song of invitation this evening is number 309. If there's anyone in the audience this evening who is starting to waver, starting to doubt, starting to wonder, the Church of Christ at Holly Street is so rigid. They are so harsh. They are so demanding. They are so, and go on and on and on. If you're thinking that, show us the scripture. And we'll show you the scriptures. There's a reason that we do the things that we do. As we sing number 309, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to make their life right with God in any way, we invite you to come now while we together stand and sing.